Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have set apart to hear and receive with all welcome receptivity your word. Father, may we not be familiar in any way with it, but to receive it in its freshness, in its newness, the newness of the Spirit, not the oldness of the letter. Father, magnify the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our midst. Edify us as members in particular in your body. And Father, may you be glorified by nothing more than our reception of your grace and truth. For it's in the matchless name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who is grace and truth personified, we pray, amen. I've entitled the message this evening, If You Build It, He Will Come. Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. That's an opaque reference to Field of Dreams. But this is not a dream. This will be a reality upon the earth. Isaiah 62 is our text. It's Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. Isaiah 62, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 12 verses, and then we'll take it apart. Isaiah 62, 1. For Zion's sake, Zion is another name for Jerusalem. Jerusalem's in the news, has been. They're downplaying it, the events in Jerusalem. But it's newsworthy, to say the very least, because it is the barometer of the times that we live in. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goes forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall your sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give your corn to be meat for your enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink your wine, for which you have labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord is proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Isaiah 62:1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goes forth as brightness, and salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. God will not be satisfied until Jerusalem becomes that beacon once again, as it once was, the place from which he rules and reveals his righteousness and salvation to the entire earth. speaking of the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ. Verse 2, and the Gentiles shall see your righteousness. That is the nations. Gentile simply means nations. It is ethnos, which means nations. In the Greek, it's ethnos. And it says, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. There's no question that Jerusalem is the hot spot among all nations of the earth. In Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 to 4, it says this, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. Has he done that? Certainly has. When they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. Has he done that? Indeed he has. For all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces. Though all people of the earth be gathered together against it, that will happen at the end of the tribulation period. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. So those things are happening now and will be consummated in the end, in the final fulfillment of these prophecies concerning Jerusalem. Verse 3, you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. For God's glory and for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, he will establish Jerusalem as his world headquarters. It's the capital of the millennial kingdom, as well as the new heavens and the new earth from the new Jerusalem. The current events regarding Jerusalem and the bold move of the United States to officially recognize Jerusalem as the undivided capital of the state of Israel sets the stage for the final prophetic events declared by Isaiah, especially in the latter chapters of his prophecy. Verse 4, you shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. All the world will soon see that God delights in Jerusalem, and his covenant with Judah he will certainly fulfill. For the first time in modern history, the building of the temple, which precedes the revelation or the unveiling of Antichrist and the coming of Christ, is finally possible. In Acts 15, James, speaking to the crowd that was gathered there of Pharisees and church leaders, first century church leaders, Jewish church leaders, as well as Paul, who had just given them the mystery revelation that was given to him in the gospel and revealed to them the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. James says this after Paul had finished speaking. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, or Peter, has declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who does all these things. Known unto God are his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Good move on the part of James in declaring those things and decreeing those things. There has to be a temple in order that Antichrist, after being mortally wounded and when he recovers, will enter and declare himself to be Christ and decree that all men must swear allegiance to him, worship him alone, and no other God, and to take the mark of the beast. That is, if they want to be spared from starvation and death. And Revelation 13:3 says, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. In Revelation 13:12, says he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. It's like an imitation of the death and resurrection of Christ. Revelation 13:14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and came back to life. Revelation 13:17 says, and he provides that no one should be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark. You have to have the mark or you can't buy or sell. He controls all currency, all bank accounts with this seal, with this mark. Either the name of the beast or the number of his name. In Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. This follows upon the judgment of the wicked dead. And they have no rest day or night. Those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Revelation 16:2, and the first angel went out and poured out his bowl into the earth, that is, bowl of wrath, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And one more, Revelation 24:20, verse 4, chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now back to the current times, the times that we live in, current events. Donald, Jehu, Cyrus, Trump, that's what I call him. Biblical reference. A builder and developer has been placed at this time in history in the world's highest office, the office of President of the United States of America. We have the great privilege of seeing these things firsthand in our lifetime, like Anna and Simeon. Remember, they were in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to be circumcised? We can now go our way in peace, for we have seen the salvation of our God. Not Jehu Trump, not Donald Jehu Cyrus Trump, but the workings of God. His works are always before him. So without reading too many things into these events, all of them are prophetic and historic and signal the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that may be sooner than we think. I'm excited about all of it. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, documentation of these concepts. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. I just heard it a second ago. Was that the voice of the archangel? Or was that thunder? Not much difference. So, you know, Paul heard a voice. They thought they heard thunder, but he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him, saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, sir? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. He said, now go into the city of Damascus, and there I will show you how much you must suffer for my sake. And Paul had a remarkable life, and we're going into the Pauline epistles next, the 13 epistles of the 13th apostle, and it'll be much more relevant to some of you than Isaiah, because some of you lost interest in Isaiah. And I can understand that to some degree or another, because you don't have listening skills or learning skills, not fully developed. You haven't acquired and honed them, perhaps. You have to be stretched sometimes in subject matter that may not be to you the essence of relevance for you or your life. But all of these things are important, and someday you'll remember something from them, and it'll help you, it'll deliver you, it'll rescue you, it'll save your soul in time. So there. All kinds of projections come at preachers, believe me. Whether they're true or not, whether they're real or not, real or imagined, they come at you all the time. And you say, wow, I'm saying this again or saying that again or saying this again. You just let it go. It is what it is. Right, Terry? It is what it is. And I never claimed to be the world's greatest preacher, the second greatest. Terry is first. I'm second. Judy's first. Terry second. I'm third. So there. But I'm your pastor, if you consider me that. Anyway, I'm not insecure, believe me. My security is with the Lord, in the Lord. So, where was I? Oh, yes. Then, he says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Are they storm clouds or just fluffy white clouds? I think they could be either. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be forever with the Lord. Does that sound good to you? It does to me. I'm ready to go. In these bodies we groan. Though the outward man's perishing, the inward man's being renewed day by day. But the outward man's still perishing. He's perishing. He has aches and pains. He's not what he once was. He's not as spry or limber as he used to be, or as strong. Sometimes I think a small child could hurt me. I've lost most of my strength at age 63. That's terrible, isn't it? If I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken much better care of myself. But be that as it may, the Lord takes care of us till the day we die. Anyway, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll be forever with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. By these things that have occurred in Jerusalem since 1948, 1967, when they took the territory of Jerusalem, and 2018, 70 years to the day from the declaration that made Israel a state or a nation, the declaration by the United States of America to recognize Jerusalem as the undivided capital of the state of Israel. By these things, preterism, which is the false teaching that God was done with Israel in 70 AD, when she was cast away from the land for 1,878 years before May 14th, 1948, when she was restored as a nation, miraculously, and nobody could have predicted it, but it occurred through the intervention of Ephraim and Manasseh, Manasseh being Great Britain, the one who would be great, and Ephraim, the one that would become greater than his older brother, the United States of America. By these preterism and replacement theology, that is, the church has replaced Israel, not true, are defunct. Those who spiritualize the prophetic realities and literal interpretation of the book of Revelation, see, that goes along with it. You have to do that. They say, that's not for the end times. That took place at the time when Israel was deposed, when Judah was deposed. Israel was deposed, finally, in 70 AD. They must now recant and repent, for they're leading astray the people of God and attacking the blessed hope of the church. You don't want to touch those things. They're sacred in the sight of God. They must now admit that they are to be numbered among the mockers of the last days. They say there is no exit, resurrection, or rapture of the church. There is no millennial kingdom. But Christ will return, glorify the saints, restore the earth, and create the new heavens and the new earth all in one fell swoop. And the Bible does not say that in any way. It lays it out systematically what he will do and how he will do it. So they now have to admit that they're mockers that were predicted to arise in the last days, whose teaching and conduct proves they're not expecting the Lord anytime soon. And I say, I'm not talking about anyone in particular, I'm talking everyone in general, anyone who holds to these teachings. I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. But only because the Lord has declared it literally and most clearly, in order that all of his people might believe every word of God, despite what appears in the realm of sight at any given point in history, to be eliminated or delayed, and none of it is. It's all in God's perfect timetable. Verse 5, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you, and as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The church is not the bride of Christ, Israel is. The church is part and parcel of the bridegroom, the body of Christ. They have a higher, more intimate relationship with Christ than Israel does, ever did, or ever will. And we are the body of Christ, who with him rejoices greatly as the day approaches, and all things are prepared. That is with regard to Israel and regard to Jerusalem. It should be exciting to us, because we're waiting for the bridegroom to come and take the bride. Like John, who is the human author of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the final word given to mankind, who was taken up to see the final events of natural human history slated for unprecedented disaster and deliverance and the rescue of the remnant, the believing remnant of Israel, and they're being escorted or ushered into the millennial kingdom at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. In Revelation 4:1, he is a type of the church. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. He just read the prophetic, panoramic, prophetic, encapsulated history of the church in the seven consecutive eras of church history in Revelation 2 and 3. And Revelation 4 starts like this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like the sound of a trumpet talking with me, which said, get up here, and I will show you the things that must take place hereafter. So we watch it from above, even as John did, receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ and the wrath and disaster that occurs in the earth. Two-thirds of the population, two-thirds of the vegetation, two-thirds of the landmass destroyed, probably by nuclear war, and disease, plagues, pestilence, etc. It's going to be a terrible time, but we won't be here, for we are not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. So we, like him, will watch the preceding events from heaven, even as we should in great measure now. Even before these things happen, understand what will occur. I've never been more sure or excited than I am right now, expecting daily the Lord to come and call us up so that the rest of the drama can be played out after we're gone without us. Carry on without us. We don't want to be there or here for any of that, and we won't be. The least of us will not be. The greatest, the carnal and the spiritual alike, will be taken. Those who are awake and those who are asleep will be taken. Next, he says in verse 6, I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. So, you know, when else in history or in recent history would these things even be relevant about Jerusalem? They certainly are now, just because of the things that are in the news, current events, regarding Jerusalem in the news every single day. And you can read much about it. Much is going on behind the scenes that you don't hear about in the news media because it's controlled by the prince of the power of the air, so it's not going to get through. And here the watchmen are given charge to declare these things to the people to whom God has given them as an audience. Do not keep silence, he says. So I guess I'm one of the watchmen set on the walls of Jerusalem. In my case, I've been set on the Wailing Wall near the Western Wall at David Flusser Street, 14, Jerusalem, 9378322, the temporary site of the U.S. Embassy. Moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on May 14th, 2018. Verse 7. And give him no rest till he established, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Watching the section of Jerusalem called the City of David, which is below the Temple Mount, which I truly believe was the original site of Solomon's Temple, not the Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock is, but down below, just below, on the part and the on the hill that rises to the Temple Mount, a section called the City of David, just below the Temple Mount on the Gion Springs, where Solomon's Temple stood. And they've done archaeological excavations that have proved that there was channels for water, stations or altars for sacrifice, and an elaborate system of trenches and water courses that ran throughout a tunnel system that would carry away the large volumes of sacrificial blood so that it could remain sanitary. So, the spring water from the springs of Gion flowed into that region, into the temple, and then out into the Kidron Valley. Very significant. Real estate that is presently in archaeological dig that has revealed the fountains and trenches that washed away great volumes of blood. Not in a Temple Mount. No such thing exists there. The Gion Springs are necessary for cleansing the temple. Verse 8, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give your corn to be meat. That is your agriculture, your farming, and the products and yield of your harvest. To be meat for your enemies, that is, for them to use and to eat. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink your wine for that which you have labored. Not anymore. Jerusalem belongs to the Jewish people and not to the squatters who moved in when Israel was exiled in 70 AD and afterwards. It belongs to Jerusalem. It always did and always will. It was a permanent grant given to Abraham, a land grant. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the Davidic dynasty. He would always have a man who sits on the throne in Jerusalem, and that man is the man, Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Verse 9, but they have gathered it, they that have gathered it shall eat it. That is, those who harvest their crops will eat them and praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. And they that have brought it together shall drink it, that is wine, in the courts of my holiness. You know, the millennial kingdom will be a 1,000-year-long wedding reception with food and wine. The holy place will be the banquet hall where many from the east and west will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to feast and fellowship. In Matthew 8:11, Jesus says, and I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom, those for whom it was drawn and designated, who did not believe, will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're not sent to hell, but they're sent to a dark region outside, away from the light of the New Jerusalem. All things are prepared for the building of the temple to begin. All the materials are laid up, ready to go. And guess what? If they build it, he will come. When they build it, he will come. There is no temple, you know, in the heavenly Jerusalem, tells us that clearly. But there is one in the earthly. There is one for the earthly Jerusalem. And when it is built, he will come. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. This tells the story of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to come, and so is Jesus Christ going to come. And if they build it, he will come. That's the next sign I'm waiting for, is the building of the temple, the rebuilding of Solomon's temple. It's going to be fantastic. Because then we can wait with tiptoe anticipation. We can't even now. No one knows the day or the hour, but the times and seasons have been revealed to us. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree and it blossoms and it forms leaves, you know summer is near. It's going to get hot. And then he's going to come suddenly. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the subject? And are gathering together to him. That is, being taken out, taken up. Harpazo, snatched away from the earth. Kept from the wrath of God. Witness protection, taken into witness protection. So that nothing that happens harms us. He said, so that you may not be shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us. False doctrine was circulating even then. They said the Lord had already come and they'd been left behind. Not so. To the effect that the day of the Lord has come, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. I think we're in the midst of the apostasy. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. The son of destruction or perdition. And Paul says then in verse 5, he says, do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. That's why he's not being revealed, is because of the presence of the Spirit in the church. For the mystery of lawlessness, great lawlessness, it's already at work behind the scenes under the surface. Only he who now restrains, that's the Holy Spirit, he's the restrainer. And the Word of God restrains evil in the world. Will do so until he is taken out of the way, and he's taken all at once. When every believer is taken out. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by his parousia, by his appearance, by his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. In order to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, who took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. And faith in the truth. He set us apart for salvation for no other purpose. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be glorified. It will be glorious when we're glorified like Jesus in so many ways. So much more so than we are now in any way. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. And I messed this up somehow. I didn't copy it right. Well, let's just end it there. That's what we'll do. Verse 10, back to our Isaiah chapter. But that's the sequence of events in the coming of Antichrist. There has to be a temple for Antichrist to go in and to declare himself to be God. It's called the abomination of desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel and by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. Verse 10, then he says, go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. A standard is a flag or a banner that is planted in a territory is taken by military victory. The battle for Jerusalem was won, and the city belongs to God and to the descendants of Abraham, even in our present day, undivided. Jerusalem, the capital of the state of Israel. That victory ultimately is the redemption wrought by Jesus Christ, who has finally vanquished every last foe in the last times. The highway is the route or road back to Israel, compelling those for whom it is drawn to return to the land of their ancestors. There'll be a great desire for Jews to return to Israel. The walls are built. The gates are open. The temple is rebuilt with hewn stones. Notice what he says. Go through the gates. Prepare the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather up the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Verse 11, behold, the Lord is proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Jesus Christ is the salvation of Israel and Judah in every generation, as he is in the end. He is God and our Savior, the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is coming to Zion. Therefore, make ready the temple, the sacrifice, the solemn assembly. If you build it, he will come. They have no idea that this is true, but indeed it is, and when it is, he will come. After the last living stone is placed in the spiritual temple, that is the church, and that temple is removed from the earth, the Antichrist will come to the earthly temple built in the midst of Jerusalem and will desecrate all that is holy. Verse 12, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. The same general subject is pursued in this chapter, which has been presented in the chapters which have gone before. The scope of the chapter is consolatory, that is, to comfort the people of Israel, and the design is to furnish assurance of divine favor toward the afflicted people of God, as would uphold and comfort them in their trials. The language is such as would be addressed to the exiles in Babylon, but the main reference is undoubtedly to the times of Messiah or to the millennial kingdom. The speaker is Christ himself, saying that he would have no rest until Zion should rise and obtain restoration from her diminished state and capacity. Isaiah 62, 1-5, this portion contains assurances of divine favor and a promise of the future restoration and glory of Jerusalem. The point of each verse is certainty and assurance of Christ Jesus himself. He would give himself no peace until splendor and glory should spread over Zion. That's Isaiah 62, 1, our passage. The Gentiles would partake of the blessings conferred on Zion, and kings would come and unite with her in Isaiah 62, 2. Zion would be as beautiful and glorious as a royal crown in the hand of Yahweh, Isaiah 62, 3. She would be no more desolate or forsaken in 62, 4. Yahweh would delight in Zion as a young married man delights in his bride, 62:5. The speaker says that he had set watchmen on the walls of Zion, and they are commanded to give him no rest, to be urgent and instant in prayer until Jerusalem should be made glorious in the earth. That's Isaiah 62:6-7. The solemn assurance that Yahweh had sworn that there would be peace and security from the invasion of all enemies, that's 62:8-9. The people are directed to prepare the way for the coming of Yahweh, Jesus Christ, 62:10-12. A crier proclaims his approach, and directs that all obstructions should be removed. To the church is promised an even greater glory than Israel, a greater grace, a richer reward, an extraordinary exaltation. Here, what is promised and is to be expected by Israel is conceivable, as opposed to that which is ours in the body of Christ, which is inconceivable. Paul, speaking to the carnal Corinthians of all people, confirms his gracious intention, God's gracious intention, for one and all. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, that which has never entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, collating spiritual with spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. The glory awaiting believing and regathered Israel is very great. The glory awaiting the least one that lived and believed in Christ in the mystery age, the church age, the age of the Spirit, the age of grace, is greater and incomparably far more glorious. The greater the grace, the greater the glory. It's the purpose of God to reveal his grace through those he has called from among Jews and non-Jews, and to demonstrate that the last will be first. The church is last, but it'll be first. Therefore, by all means, make his calling and election sure. That means for yourself. The reason is our redemption draws nigh. Praise the Lord, all you his people. This is the purpose and result for which Christ died. So Peter tells us, grow in that grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory both now and forever. He'll be glorified in the saints. In Psalm 22, portion of Psalm 22, verses 23 to 31, is a passage that refers to these same things, and yet it's never given emphasis. What's given emphasis in Psalm 22 is the sufferings of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. But here in 22:23 is an exhortation which says, starting at verse 23, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, Jesus Christ on the cross, he heard, from thee comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and return to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust will bow before him, even who cannot keep his soul alive. Posterity will serve him. It will be told to the Lord, to the coming generation. They will come and will declare his righteousness to a people who is yet to be born, that he has finished it or performed it. Asah, which is requoted in the Greek language in Tetelestai in John 19:30. So if you build it, they will come. The final phase of the first regathering, once Jerusalem is reclaimed as the undivided capital of Israel. And when the temple is rebuilt, when you build it, he will come. The Antichrist in his reign of terror. And after 1260 days, Jesus Christ to rule with justice and peace all the nations of the earth for 1,000 literal years. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the prophecy of Isaiah and the relevance of these things, even in current events. Father, may we be greatly encouraged by them and just keep our eyes on the word and on the skies, because your return is imminent. We just thank you for it, and we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The bride and the spirit say, come. And let those who are athirst come and drink freely from the waters of life. We thank you for these things. If I could have my ushers, please, Father, bless the offering in the matchless name of our great God and Savior, the great King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. Amen.